Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
I'ma take it to trial. Pray the Lord I beat the case. That man be calling.
It is Thursday, April 14th. Welcome to Menace at Lunch. We've been talking about this, and I'm not saying we're going to do this permanently, but Chris had something this morning, and I wanted to take my daughter to preschool, so we decided to test out kind of a beta test on a lunchtime show to see how the numbers are and how you guys, if you guys like it. So any feedback you could give us, shoot us a DM on Twitter or just mention us on Twitter and let us know if you like the morning or lunchtime show better, because we really are flexible. We could do either. I can either work out before and then do the show or work out after the show. I don't care. And then the rest of my day is tied up into Zone 6 and some of the other things I have going on. But that being said, if you go on zone6.com, if you are an athlete, I'm going to keep plugging it because, I mean, the response has been decent, but I know there's more of you out there, more coaches out there, more people that you know, right? I don't know how many high school kids are listening to the show. I know there are some. I meet them at the gym. But if you're a high school athlete playing football, I'm telling you, this you at least check it out. 7-day free trial. You can cancel afterwards. Go to zone6.com into the development side. It is teaching tools and developmental tools to help you learn the game. I have a big content dump. I mean, there's already a bunch of content on there. I've got another big dump coming in the next couple days. So it's definitely worth your while. I also, I have two other housekeeping things to get to. We broke down the Jim Knowles defense. YouTube copyright claimed it. I don't want to get our channel taken down, so it's private. If you subscribe to Patreon, the $10 tier or above, you get access to the Jim Knowles video, and we're going to keep doing that. Every video we do, we're going to put it on YouTube. If they ding it for copyright, it goes to Patreon only. Mm-hmm. If they don't, we release it to the public. We're not trying to get behind a paywall. We're just trying not to get canceled. So that is why it is there. And so if you want to check it out, it's pretty detailed. I broke down kind of how their defense operates. It's pretty cool, I think. I think you'll enjoy it. Last thing, titties. Always save titties for last, right? Or do titties go first? I don't know. Sapphire Gentlemen's Club out in Vegas. If you're going to the draft, want to go to a fun time, I still can't tell you for sure if we're going or not. I haven't decided, and I'm still talking to them about it. But they have invited us, and they want us to do a live show in the Gentlemen's Club, which could be epic. So we're in conversation about doing that. But if you go out there, you can either call or text 702-869-003 for the draft package options. It's a big time like titty club or gentleman's club, I guess is what you call it. But it has this badass bar, huge screen TVs. You can check it out. Go to sapphirelasvegas.com for more information. It's going to be awesome. And if you not only can you watch the draft there, get a lap dance, whatever you want to do, or just be around people, you don't have to get a lap dance at a gentleman's club. They have a post draft party with T.O. Terrell Owens is going to be there hosting the post draft after party. So if T.O.'s there, I would imagine a bunch of those draft picks will come. I mean, it's going to be cool.
That's going to be awesome.
I want to be there. And so we're trying to figure out how to make it work. It's just flights to Vegas are freaking so expensive.
Yeah.
And I guess it's because they know the draft is there. I don't know, but.
Well, that plus inflation anyway, like 8.5 for whatever percent gas prices.
Oh, man, I got to wear a mask. Come on, bro.
Wait, I got a hack for you, Zach. You know how you don't wear a mask on a plane?
No.
All you have to do is bring a sucker. My boy flew from Ohio to Florida to Texas. No mask the entire time. Just had the sucker in his mouth the entire time.
That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to try that. But all right, here's we titled the show this, and it's a conversation I want to talk about because I talked about it a little bit, but this is just it's a hot topic because it's Nick Saban, it's Alabama. Have they lost their touch in recruiting the receiver position, right? Or developing the receiver position? Because I've never seen or heard of a run like they had, that 2-year stretch, right? Mm-hmm. With the four first rounders coming out of that room. If you can't parlay that into recruiting successes, and if you can't develop, I don't know how the hell you're still the receiver coach at Alabama, but it's been atrocious. John Mechie's the only receiver they've really had since then that's been worth a shit. Jameson Williams transfers in. Now they get the kid from Georgia transferring in. It's like,
and they're in the portal again to get another one. Like they're
right. They're looking for another one right now. And I went back and looked at it. And I mean, John Metchie was the best receiver they signed in 2019. The only receiver they signed in 2019 as the 40th best receiver in the country. Right. After that, you look, they signed a couple big time guys. Like you go to 2020, still didn't sign any big time guys. Javon Baker was a 34th ranked receiver, a 4-star. And I'm not saying they couldn't be great players, but they didn't get developed into them. Trayshawn Holden was the 42nd best receiver in the country. And then 2021, this is where you have to say, all right, these kids, the 2021 receivers that came in, they should be the ones that are now going to be sophomores and are ready to play. And they weren't ready to play in the bowl game, right? In the national championship game. I mean,
JoJo, five-star kid, the Brooks kid, five-star.
Yeah, Ja'Cory Brooks, five-star, number two receiver in the country, and he came from IMG. And I already told you my thoughts on IMG. I'm not a fan of IMG. The players are so inflated, and they think that they're ready for college because they went to IMG, and most of the time they're not. You even look at like Teron Vincent and some of the Buckeyes that have went to IMG. They come in, and it's not like they're college ready right now, right? So I'm not a fan of IMG. But Ja'Cory Brooks, the number two receiver in the country, I mean, didn't look good against Georgia. And I mean, he hasn't done anything. I know he's a freshman. So you would think if JoJo Earl and Ja'Cory Brooks, you add in Blaylock from Georgia, you get those three, that should be a badass receiver group. Obviously, those receivers are not getting developed. So I guess my point is this. The receiver position, you can't just rely on two big-time recruits in one class to be like your saviors at a position. You have to recruit those kids every year because every now and then they aren't as advertised, or they get hurt, or they don't have a good work ethic, and you didn't do a good job finding that out in the recruiting process. So if you have seven of them, then three of them probably are going to be really good players. If you have two of them and neither of them is that guy, you got nothing.
And you lose the one. The Ajay Hall kid was an absolute player. I mean, he was a monster. In the spring game, I believe he had four touchdowns last year. And all camp, they were talking about he can't be covered. He's this good. He's that good. And then all of a sudden, you lose him. And what I always tell people about elite rooms, if you have a true elite culture in a room and you're a true elite coach, that means you're a plus in recruiting and a plus in development. You won't find cases where you need to reach in the portal to get wide receivers in back-to-back years. Like if you have to go into the portal back-to-back years, that means there's a flaw with your room. And somehow this coach has Bama Nation fooled. He didn't develop Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams got there after spring. So I don't want to hear any talk about that. No talk about Brian Hartline holding anybody back. He got there after spring and ended up being kind of the savior for their season. Because without him, I believe they lose two games.
You know, the old adage, and I teach my kids this, like leave the place you're at better than when you found it, right? We had our first baseball game. I meant to mention it yesterday. I wore the shirt and everything. But my son had his first baseball game on Tuesday. They got they won 3-2 in a sixth inning double that scored two runs. So it was a very, very emotional win for the old coach over here. It was awesome. But we tell our baseball team, like, the dugout will be spotless. I don't care if you walk in and there's a bottle laying there when you walk in. That bottle is going to be picked up. Mm-hmm. It's no different than these rooms, right? If you're at Bama or Ohio State, you absolutely have to be a plus in both. You can't just be a great teacher and developer and a shitty recruiter. You can't be a great recruiter and a shitty developer. You can't. Not at Bama and Ohio State. You can at South Carolina. You can at Kentucky. You can be one or the other. But if you're at Ohio State or Bama, you have to be plus plus. Mm-hmm. You have to be one of the top in the country at both. That's how you get there. And I think about my journey as a receiver coach at Ohio State, what I took over in 2012, and then left a room with the starters being Paris Campbell, Terry McLaurin, Johnny Dixon. Austin Mack was right behind him, Ben Victor, KJ Hill. Right behind him was Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, like plus plus. Mm-hmm. Like those kids, that room was so much better than when I found it or inherited it. Right. And that, you know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but that is the job of a coach at Ohio State. Right. And people that gave Greg Stradrawa a bunch of shit. And although I did think it was time for him to go, I did think Ohio State deserved a better developer and teacher. He left the O-line room at Ohio State much better than what he took over from Ed Warner. Like not even close from a recruiting and development standpoint. So it's just they're failing in both. I mean, you look at their recruiting classes. They haven't signed. They haven't even been in the same rare air as Brian Hartline. Not even close. They can't even see Brian Hartline when it comes to recruiting receivers. And then the product on the field has been supplemented, transfers, right? It's like It's like you build cars for a living, but your cars kind of suck, so you go buy a Ferrari. It's like, well, cool, but don't say you're a great car builder. Like,
you didn't build that.
You didn't designer build that. You bought it, right? Same thing. They bought the kid from Georgia. They bought Jameson Williams, and now they're looking to buy another one because the receiver coach can't coach and obviously can't recruit very well.
And it's crazy because them putting this out so loudly, you know what they're doing, Zach? This is, if you're the number four receiver on your team, and you're good, hop in the portal. We'll come get you. This was a direct flare to not the entire nation. This was a direct flare to the Ohio State wide receiver room, Zach. That's what it was. Like, yeah, they opened up the gate. They shot up the flare. They said, hey, we're looking for
SOS. We need help. SOS.
Exactly. Like, we need help. We know Ohio State's room is loaded. And if one of those guys hops in the portal, I guarantee you, Zach, the very first call that they get is going to be from Nick Saban and Wiggins.
Well, and I guess it is new age recruiting, right? Mm-hmm. Because they can sell what they just did with Jameson Williams. Like, you're the third guy there. Look, we made him into damn near a Heisman candidate, right? We made him into a first round draft pick. So that's a good, but
it's kind of brilliant. It's kind of brilliant, Zach.
Yeah, but at some point you got to do both, right? Mm-hmm. You got to recruit high school kids well and recruit the portal well. And Holloman Wiggins, it just shocked me. He got a big raise too, and he's like the associate head coach or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're sitting here like, how this is Bama we're talking about? Like, this is not Kentucky.
Exactly. Like,
Bama has a problem. They do at the receiver position. Mm-hmm. And at some point, and maybe not, maybe they'll just rely on the portal forever, get great players in, and Bama will remain Bama. But I know this: those other position groups aren't doing that. Mm-mm. They're getting five-star, big-time high school talent, developing the shit out of them, and I don't know what the issue is in that room because there's not a lot of development going on. Young kid development, right?
Right. Yeah, and it's crazy because they sent up the flare the first time. Like, we need Burton. I mean, obviously, Nick Saban talked about how guys weren't ready, how guys were complaining, guys weren't buying into the culture, and it's like they weren't ready when Jameson Williams went down. What did they do immediately after? Burton comes in. And now it's like, okay, we need another one, and J.E. Hall is not who we thought he was. He's in the portal. We need somebody, and it's a flare to Ohio State receivers is what it is, because nowhere else in the country is the room that loaded. And at some point, Bama's going to have to go through a prove-it year, a year where they don't have a transfer, a year where they get the two or three five-star receivers, and they're forced to develop them to prove that the Wiggins rug stuff isn't a fluke. The same way that I think right now Lincoln Riley is in a real prove-it phase, because he's got to develop a quarterback from start to finish, not some transfer where he gets out that's already 21 years old and a high accolade and already proved he could play. Bama needs to get a guy from start to finish, and then I will put this question to bed. But right now, Zach, I don't think they're a plus recruiter or a plus coach, and I think that's why they tried to hire you all those years ago, because they knew that Wiggins maybe wasn't their guy.
Well, and you know what? And the guy they hired was when I turned it down was Josh Gattis. Mm-hmm. And it really, you have to look at like that national championship they won, right, with Tua Tagovailoa, where he came in at halftime, right, and threw the pass to Devontae Smith. Like, that is a room with depth, correct, right? You had Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs, going to be first rounders that year, right? And then you had Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith, playing some, but they were freshmen. They weren't quite ready to be, the every down guy. But you go to the national championship game, who caught the game winner? Devontae Smith, right? A guy gets tired, a guy gets dinged, maybe not hurt, but just, his hamstring tightens up. He needs to get stretched out. Someone's got to go in the game. And what Bama proved this past year is they had two guys go down. Mechie goes down. Then the next game, Jameson goes down. They roll into to play Georgia again, who they already beat, and they had no firepower on the perimeter. They couldn't get open. And Nick Saban even publicly criticized them all. He said, well, what happened was we had two really good players go down, and the young guys weren't ready for the moment. They
the
couldn't
young guys
get open.
That thought they were ready weren't yeah, ready
they
for
thought
the moment.
They were ready because they were five stars and went to IMG, and IMG told them that, they're developing pros and all this other bullshit. The reality was they weren't any good. I don't give a shit what that kid Ja'Cory was ranked. He wasn't any good, and he wasn't coached well. Correct. And he wasn't developed, or he's not talented enough, which I don't buy. I think they have an average-ass receiver coach that can't recruit high school kids and develop them into pros. They can't.
Yeah. Which is crazy for us to say about a Nick Saban program.
It is.
Like, it's insane, especially for that position in particular, where guys that can play are at an all-time. I mean, guys can really play. There's a lot of good receivers out there, and I think it's going to have, a continued effect. So, we'll see. To me, they're on a prove-it year. To me, it's a little bit silly. And moving forward, I think that they're going to have to make a change at receiver coach if they want to start, competing at the like a Rolls Royce position for receivers.
And the other problem here is this, right? If they do this year in, year out with transfers, Mm-hmm. Why, as a high school kid, am I going to Bama? Jack. Like, I know for a fact all you're going to do is to supplement with transfers, and I'll probably never get a shot, mm-hmm. right? And you haven't proven to me that you can take a high school kid and make them into a big-time college player because you haven't done it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, John Metchie was a good player, but let's not call him. I mean, he wasn't dominant. And he also wasn't. He also wasn't a big time recruit. So, I mean,
He wasn't overly dynamic. He's a good possession receiver, not a great one.
Yeah, and so I'm not coming if I'm if I'm recruiting against Bama, a high school kid, for the first time my whole career, I never had that luxury because they were just taking high school players and churning out first round draft picks. So it was a bitch to beat Bama on a wideout. Now I wouldn't lose a single kid to Bama, not a chance, unless he's from Alabama. No chance, because that kid would be well versed in the fact that they don't take high school kids and develop them into NFL players. They don't. Mm-hmm. So why would you risk your career going there? If you're a tackle or quarterback or running back, fuck yeah. Alabama's a great place to go. A wideout? Absolutely not. No chance. Not until they show me, right?
They have to show. Like I said, like Lincoln Riley to me has to have a proven guy start to finish quarterback wise. I need Wiggins to have a start to finish guy in the receiver room. And it's a little interesting. Zach, and Alabama's smart. This timing is perfect. The end of spring, they set up the flare. We need one more transfer. What does that tell you? That was very on purpose. That is so calculated.
It's intentional, right? And, and it shows that they don't have the skill they need at receiver. And, you know, the APB's out, right? If you're already developed great player, come to Bama. You'll play with Bryce Young. Like, outside of CJ Stroud, who the fuck else do you want to play for? Who else do you want throwing you the ball?
Yeah, I don't know. That Jackson Dart kid could be pretty good for Ole Miss. We haven't seen him play yet, though. Caleb Williams out in USC.
You know for a fact, if you transfer into Bama or Ohio State, you know you have a top five quarterback throwing you the ball.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how would you not go, like, pick those schools? Especially if it's a place like Bama that is shooting a flare in there saying, we need help. We got no receivers. They all stink.
I'm not going to say his name because I want Pitt fans to be mad at me. But if I'm that Pitt Biletnikoff winner, you know where I'm going? Bama.
Hell yeah.
I'm leaving Pitt so quick because Kenny Pickett's not there anymore.
This is just wild.
Staying on recruiting, Zach, I wanted to kind of poke fun at Anna Hickey, who I think does a really good job working there at Clemson. But she put out a tweet yesterday that I thought was interesting. Clemson landed their quarterback, you know, a top 100 kid. I don't know how to say his last name. Vizena, I believe, is how it's said. But, you know, top 100 kid. He had an Ohio State offer. Ohio State was in his top five. I don't believe he was a take for us right now. Of course, that's very easy for me to say currently, given that he committed to Clemson. But after he committed, she sent out a tweet basically making fun of media for saying that Dabo has lost some of his recruiting shine because, you know, obviously he hasn't because he landed this kid. Zach, I want to say this. The last three complete Clemson recruiting classes since Dabo's, you know, been talking out of his ass more and more, have been ranked number 3, down to number 5, down to number 10. They've now landed a QB for 2023, bumping their class up to number 31 in the country and only their second commit of the class. I think that Dabo Swinney has absolutely lost some of his recruiting shine. I think getting a kid that loves Clemson to commit doesn't change that. I wanted to know your opinion on it.
I got to see depth in a class, right? I need to see that premier talent. And when you look at what happened, right, back in 2020, and all the things that Dabo has done has made him obsolete in recruiting. I mean, from the racial slurs from one of the assistant coaches, right? Then they had the whole thing about the building was named after a slave owner. I did a whole show on it. Never mind the fact that fucking everything about Clemson was slave owners. Like Clemson, John Clemson was involved with slavery. And I mean, the land was slave land. Everything about it was, but they canceled the one building. It's like, well, you got to cancel the whole university then, right? Yeah.
I can do a solo podcast on systematic racism that takes apart of Clemson, but I won't do it because I think that that's besides the point. The issue is I think Dabo has lost his touch, and I think that people that refuse to acknowledge
that. But I'm saying that bad media coming out and then Dabo wearing shirts of like alt-right extremists.
He wore a Football Matters shirt.
Right, yeah, Football Matters shirt. Black, like, just his insensitivity towards race was the start of it, on top of the fact that he hates NIL and every school in the country selling the fact that, like, Dabo don't want you to get paid. He doesn't think you deserve to get paid. And then on top of that, he won't fuck with the portal. Like, Dabo is completely archaic. It's like almost like he's back in the 60s, like fighting for, you know, he's against equal rights or something. It's like, Jesus, man, it's 2022. You better jump in the portal.
He said, we don't want them on our water fountain. We don't. Right.
And the other funny thing about it is, what about the slime bag money laundering that was going through that church in South Carolina to buy recruits when it was illegal? Now you don't like it because you had a great system going and now it's legal and everyone else can create an actual legitimate system. Like, it's just, it's comical. And he absolutely has lost his recruiting prowess. Getting one kid that grew up idolizing Trevor Lawrence or fucking Deshaun Watson doesn't mean that you have it still.
I mean,
you just said it. The 10th ranked class in 2022, fifth in 2021, third in 2020. There's a slide right now. 31 right now, they'll finish higher, but they'll probably be 15. The trend is there. You can see it. It's not hard. It's an evaluation-friendly business. There's fucking 60 different sites that rank them and tell you where these classes are ranked. And even if they're slightly wrong, they're not all the way wrong. It's just he absolutely has lost recruiting prowess.
And the kid they got with the teams you recruit with, I think it's super interesting. Like, it's so easy to say, oh, like, we got a top 75 quarterback. But the teams you compete against, Zach, they're getting a top 5 quarterback. They're getting a guy that's top 6 in the class. I mean, it's like if you look at the quarterbacks and who you're competing with, you want to get one of those 3 best quarterbacks in the country, and they're simply not doing that. And additionally, on the back end, they're losing depth because his message is not ringing well with who you want them to ring well with, and it's black parents. Like, how can a black parent be sold after Dabo says all these things about he doesn't want guys to get paid because da da da? You can say it's taken out of context, but these other schools that are negatively recruiting, they're taking the line out of context and bringing it to black parents. Like, absolutely. This is what they said. This is what was said. Like, they let an assistant head coach say the N-word, hit it, and then said, oh, well, we already talked about him about that. It's like this message is failing, and in a time right now where you should be pro player mobility, because that helps sell the kids. We should be pro NIL because you want kids to get paid, because blink, blink, hint, hint, you're making millions of dollars impartially because of them. Three, where freedom of speech is so important. You telling these kids you don't want them to go to rallies. Yes, he's losing his touch. Landing a white quarterback who grew up idolizing Trevor Lawrence, who grew up loving Clemson and is, you know, a part from a world where aw shucks is the cool thing, does not change the fact that your recruiting prowess has wore off. Like, right now, Texas A&M is recruiting laps around you. Right now, I mean, everybody's recruiting laps around them. And if they want to remain one of the elite, like, nationally, not just in the ACC, they're going to need to make some adjustments. It's overly archaic is really what it is.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I see in the comments, someone says, Zach, are you calling him a racist? No, you're missing the point here. First of all, I don't know if he's a racist. No, none of us do. No, Clemson fans don't know. We don't know. And that, honestly, it's what the fuck ever. Like, if he is, shame on him. But I'm talking about the image and how the stuff, how his actions look and how that is presented in recruiting.
Right. Because in recruiting, doesn't matter what you are. It matters. Your flaws will be magnified.
In the recruiting is a media driven entity, right? It's no different than what you watch on TV on Fox News or CNN or ESPN. it doesn't matter if you beat your wife. It only matters if everyone says you did, right? Mm-hmm. It only matters if the messaging is that you did. It doesn't matter if you did. That's the reality of the world we live in because of how the media and negative recruiting and everything. So it doesn't matter. That's just the reality of it. The other side of this is, I mean, all his assistants just bailed, just jumped ship.
Skedaddled.
GTFO'd. Like, Clemson is gone. And it brings me to my second point is, if you're not getting a generational quarterback, I mean, think about his last two quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson. Two of the best quarterbacks in the last 10 years.
Right.
So if you're not getting that kid, and DJ Uiagalelei obviously is not that, or and he's not going to be developed into it, because we can go through their whole coaching staff and Brandon Streeter as a quarterback coach who made Trevor Lawrence worse. Right. Didn't even keep him at status quo.
Trent Dilfer, who doesn't want to argue with anybody, who doesn't want to bash any college coaches because he has relationships with them, he went on national television and said, Trevor Lawrence got markedly worse. He said, when we had him at Elite 11, his mechanics, his footwork, the way the ball jumped out of his arms, his eyes were all polished. When I saw him year three at Clemson, none of it. None of it.
It's like, because it's an aw shucks coaching staff, right? It is like a glorified high school coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And Dabo just keeps hiring like these good old boys who are like his interns. He's like, hey, that's a good boy. He works hard. Let's give him a shot. And it's like, what the hell? And it's unfortunate. So, I mean, or if you don't like Clemson, you love to see it, right?
I have an interesting hill, Zach. I don't know how far off on this. I don't think Dabo Swinney is insane enough or competitive enough to be a longtime dynasty head coach. I think he's good enough to catch and ride waves. But like I was listening to stories about some quarterbacks and some coaches and about like the competitive nature. And we mean you talk about Urban Meyer all the time, about the insane psychotic nature. I don't think Dabo has that. And because of that, I think he allows himself to be okay with mediocre hires, to be okay with not wanting to change. And the fact that he's not constantly sharpening his own sword and trying to go into battle tells me that he's not as insane as a Nick Saban, not as insanely competitive as a Ryan Day. You tell the story often of like, you know, if you shot a paper into a trash can and Ryan Day saw you do it, he would say back up and he would try to make one too. I think wouldn't do any of that. I think he'd pat your head and say, "Oh shucks, you want to go get some pancakes with me?" Is kind of where I'm at with Dabo.
I mean, this has always been the case. Dabo's never been a grinder. He's never recruited ever. I mean, he was a head coach that refused to get on Twitter and didn't send DMs to recruits, didn't want to talk to recruits. He only met with them when they visited. Like you talk about, you know, stuck in old times. Mm-hmm. That was Dabo. He wanted to do it the way he did it, you know, 15 years ago. Coming and when up. Texting became legal or Twitter DMs became a thing, he refused to do any of it because, and you can't tell me that he's even slightly, I mean, he's not competitive at all. If you're not going to do what's necessary to get the ammunition and the weaponry to go compete at a high level, even if you still get kids because you have this funnel through the church, because your assistants are just killing it in recruiting, which they did. They recruited South Georgia and got Deshaun Watson, got Trevor Lawrence, or not South Georgia, but the state of Georgia, because and they did that. The assistants did that despite him. And now they can't do it. You know, Georgia doesn't have, you know, a big time quarterback, so they don't have that pipeline right there. They have to go to Cali and they get the third best out of three, and he's not even as good as advertised. And they don't have a guy that can develop him into a first round draft pick. So I really think that the luster has worn off. It's a little, there's a little rust on the Clemson program, and Dabo's not the guy to kick the tires and get shit going again. I mean, he's not the guy that's going to go attack the portal like Mel Tucker. He's not going to create or, you know, get some boosters to create an NIL slush fund to try to get some big time players. He's behind the times, and it's the game has officially flown by him.
One staff member, Zach, he had on his team that was insane, that was hyper competitive, that really elevated that entire defense, Venables, is not there. There's no one to fall back on. And they struggled last year even with him. Like they have their struggles, and I think it won't be long until the ACC fully catches Clemson.
Well, and it's kind of, you look at what happened to Urban at Florida, right? When you lose great staff members, you have to, and it happened to Urban at Ohio State. When you lose great staff members, you have to replace them with great staff members, with great assistant coaches, right? At Florida, he lost an offensive coordinator in Dan Mullen, defensive coordinator in Charlie Strong, and brought in guys that weren't up to par or didn't, I won't even say that. They weren't great fits for his program and ultimately weren't great coaches in his program. Now they are great coaches elsewhere, but they just didn't fit with his program. And so he made some bad hires. He did it again at Ohio State when he hired Ed Warner on the offensive side. Then he hired Greg Schiano on the defensive side. Like they weren't great fits. And Dabo right now, he lost Mike Elliott, Jeff Scott, and Brent Venables, three all-star coaches. And he didn't replace them with all-star coaches. You replace them with like fucking interns and shit like that. Like it's just like, okay, well, hope it works out, but doesn't look like it's going well.
Right. And one of the comments by guy Chad, this is actually real. Dabo took so long and actually didn't reach out to Mateo Uyungale. And obviously that's the brother of DJ, and he's a five-star kid, really disruptive. I know LJ wants him. And it's just like polar opposite, like for Dabo not to reach out to that kid or to go a week without reaching out to the dad of the family. When on the flip side, remember we talked about Joey Bosa and Nick Bosa, about how Urban was just constantly wearing out.
I don't give a shit if his brother plays for Clemson or not. If he's top flight, like one of the top three or four at that position.
Three or four players in the country. Like
I'm talking about at that position. Mm-hmm. Urban Meyer, you would get fired if he didn't speak to your top three receivers every week. He'd be like, I haven't talked to, he literally would talk to a kid on Monday and on Friday come into my office and just lose his mind on me, motherfucking me up and down because I haven't talked to that kid in 3 weeks. And I'd be like, Coach, you talked to him Monday. He'd be like, I didn't talk to him Monday. And I'd be like, I promise you. And he'd storm out, go see Pantone. Pantone had a log of everyone Urban talked to, and he'd show him like, yeah, you talked to him on Monday. And they like the intern would put like what he talked about next to it. And you're like, but he was that neurotic about recruiting. Like, and Dabo, like, Never mind the fact that this should be an easy get. You should be wearing this kid out because his brother's there.
His brother's like the starting quarterback. His brother is a starting quarterback.
Nick Bosa, I mean, he had to turn his phone off because Larry Johnson. I mean, the only time I talked to Nick Bosa was randomly on social media or through a text or when I was down at St. Thomas Aquinas in South Florida recruiting, because Larry Johnson, Urban Meyer, Greg Schiano, all these people are contacting him, wanting to get him on the phone. I'm like, bro, I don't need to talk to you. I coach wideouts. I'm just here to develop a relationship, and I'll come see you when I'm down there. That's it. Like, but it's shocking, and it's why the game's passing by, and it's why Clemson. And this brings us to the last topic we have on the show. ESPN put their preseason top 10, and it shows you what fucking clown show it is. Clemson is the fourth ranked team in the country preseason. How could you have that assumption? Even if it turns out to be true, based on what? They lost all their big time coaches. They were dog shit last year. What makes you think they're going to be a top five team?
Insane.
It's just stupid. It's just a lack of intelligence is what it is. I mean, I agree with the rest of the list. I actually would. I agree with the rest of the list. Bama 1, OSU 2. I think Georgia at 3 is a little inflated. ESPN is forgetting that they just lost a fucking slew of generational defensive players and their offense was average as shit. So I have Georgia's too high for me. Then Clemson at 4 is nuts. Notre Dame 5, Texas 6. I mean, that's a hope and a dream right there. I guess if Sark is what he's supposed to be, they definitely have some clay to mold.
You want
to
know why Texas is 6, Zach? Because they get Bama week 2.
Oh, without a doubt.
And that game's without on what doubt. Network?
And then Michigan at 7 is another one. I mean, they just lost a ton of players on defense. A bunch of fifth-year seniors, like grown-ass men. So we'll see if Cade McNamara, J.J. McCarthy, you know, how that all goes down. Oklahoma 8, Pitt 9, and Auburn 10. Pitt 9 is – I know that's the one you laughed at the most. Like, they just lost Kenny Pickett, who was like their Dan Marino of our era, right?
They say Kenny Pickett was in – college longer than Hunter Renfrow, and nobody heard of him until his final year.
But I mean, you know, I think Pat Narduzzi is a great defensive coach. So if they do have a quarterback on their team that, you know, can play like Kenny Pickett or anywhere close, maybe they're the ninth best team in the country. But you know, the problem is, I live in a world where all I care about is who's going to win the national championship. Like, who has a shot? Right?
Are you not going to mention the fact that USC didn't make their top 10?
Yeah, that is kind of surprising. I mean, especially with all the buzz around Lincoln Riley, you would think that ESPN would be pumping that a little more. I honestly would be curious as to who gets the money from the Pac-12 network and all those games. I bet you it's not ESPN, and that's Fox. Probably why. Yeah. If it's Fox, that's why, right? That's why Bama's ahead of OSU. I can make a case easily that OSU should be 1 and Bama should be 2. I don't disagree Bama at 1, but you can make that case. Mm-hmm. But ESPN school is going to be above a Fox school, right? In an ESPN poll, but Clemson being 4 is just, I mean, that's an abomination.
Yeah, I'm surprised. It's it's pretty insane. I Clemson being up there, that's going to be a huge slide. I was checking their schedule because I didn't know if they had Georgia again this year, but I didn't see it.
No, I mean, they have a couple losses on their schedule. I think NC State beats them or could beat them. Mm-hmm. Boston College is going to be tough at Boston College, with Halfley having another year to develop that program. I think FSU has a chance to bounce back because I think Mike Norvell and his staff are doing a good job. I mean, at Notre Dame, that's probably an L.
Do they get Boston College this year?
Yeah, at Boston College.
Halfley's got them.
Yeah, and then on top of that, you got a Mario Cristobal bringing a re-energized Miami team into town. They got to play South Carolina at the end of the year, who's Shane Beamer's doing an outstanding job there. I mean, there could be four losses on that schedule, and you're sitting here like number 4 in the country. Christ, is everybody else that bad?
I expect Penn State to be better than them is kind of where I'm
at. Oh, I think Penn State will surprise some people this year. I'm not saying they're going to be in the national conversation.
And we hate projections, just for the record. Like, we hate.
Oh, God, I can't stand it. Especially right now. You don't even know who's, like, Clemson at 4. You don't even know who's going to be on that team.
Exactly.
After spring ball, they could lose like 3 star players, or they could add 3, right?
We talked about Bama putting up the signal. We need help at wide out.
Right.
So, but Zach, that's all I got for today, man.
Yeah, that's all I got too. I got nothing else to talk about. Just a reminder, go check out zone6.com. It's the number 6. You don't need a promo code. It's a free 7-day trial. If you want to go ahead and sign up and pay and get it for cheaper, you get 50% off with the promo code GRIND. Shoot me a message. Let me know what you think. Also, the Jim Knowles video on Patreon, patreon.com/menace2sports. And let's go hang out at a titty club, Sapphire Gentlemen's Club in Vegas, Thursday of the draft, the first round. Go hang out, man. It's going to be a movie. It's going to be nuts.
A movie.
With all the superstars coming to T.O.'s party after. I mean, it's going to be crazy.
I have no games, Zach, so like that whole world is like new to me, and I've never been to a strip club, so like.
Well, Chris, listen, let me see if I can get this done, and we might pop your cherry on that. So I appreciate everybody. Menace out.